Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You just tuned into Comedy Film Nerds episode 487.
I'm getting closer. Tick, tick, tick.
It's closer to 600, the final episode, December 12th. Yep, what? We're wrapping it up after 10 years.
Now, if somebody's just coming into listening, they're probably thinking, how are they going to do over 100 episodes by December 12th?
So, well, we have 99 spoiler eps. So
it will be at least 600. We should probably call it the at least 600.
The
episode.
At least 600, because there's probably a good six to half a dozen to a dozen unnumbered episodes that we've released over the years.
Okay,
and there's also a couple paid episodes.
Some paid episodes we released.
So it's gonna be over 600,
way over.
Yeah,
we're just calling it our 600th and final episode.
It's a good number.
Yeah, nice and round.
There's a Coca-Cola 600 NASCAR event.
Yeah,
600 is good.
Yeah,
500 is like, oh, we get it. 500 people have done that before. 600.
Yeah,
we did want to name it after the NASCAR event.
That's why I figured as much. That's your target audience. We know this.
NASCAR and Coke is really...
That's really... Yeah. That's our
You got to go out playing Ricky Bobby. Yes. Stroker Ace, whatever. Six-pack Kenny Loggins. Kenny Rogers, rather.
Stroker Ace. Wow, you know every NASCAR movie.
I'm surprised that just came to me in this moment.
That's amazing. I don't think anyone in 10 years of doing this show has ever mentioned Stroker Ace.
Ace, man.
We'd remember that.
I would remember that.
Yeah. What about Six-Pack, though, with Kenny Rogers? That's a really
good Dolly Parton?
Yeah. Is she in that one? I can't remember if Dolly Parton is in that one.
But I actually remember that one with the kids and the pit crew.
Yes, the kids are. Yeah, that's the six kids is a six pack, and he's a NASCAR driver. It's a good movie. It's a good like a fun little kid movie, you know.
Well, all right.
Yeah, gurgle it.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, returning guest John Reap is here.
Thank you, guys.
You have a podcast on the All Things Comedy Network.
I certainly do. Right now, it's called Fried. And we've done 107 or 108 episodes.
You do that with Sarah Tiana.
I started with Sarah Tiana.
Right.
And then we were too busy. Ships passing in the night, couldn't get together. So I just do it by myself in Hickory. I actually got my friends on there now, and they all have their own little segment. I got a buddy named Mark Hunt. And he's pretty poor, and he shops at Goodwill. So we do a segment called Goodwill Hunting, where he goes to a Goodwill, and he buys an item, and I'll buy an item, and we'll exchange it on the show. And he has no idea what I'm getting him, and he doesn't know what I'm getting, vice versa. We do Small Town News. We do a thing called Meme. We do a thing called John's Journal, where I actually kept a journal when I was in high school. And I found it when I moved back home. And it's weird to see how your brain worked when you were 18, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I read The Day in the Life Of, and then, you know, we go over that. And sometimes I wrote poetry.
I want to hear some of that high school poetry.
What heartbroken teenager hasn't?
Yeah. Oh, I could blame the girl, too. Yeah. I do. Her name is Dawn Eisenhower.
Wow.
Well, way to go, Dawn.
Well, now I want to hear the poem.
So. Well, there's many poems.
Are you going to release these or publish them? Or
What I've done on the podcast is I will read one. And some of the poetry's not finished because...
Will this be a new series on Amazon Prime?
I hope so. Do we like it? Is it good enough?
Yeah.
Yay! Well, I'll read the poem, and then like it runs out because I don't finish a lot of them it was like a pre-class assignment the teacher made everyone write for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 minutes, you got to put the pencil down no matter what. So a lot of times I didn't finish these poems. And I would read them on the podcast and have the listeners finish them. I'm like, you write in, you finish it, and I'll read the best one on the podcast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or sometimes I would finish it now as a 47-year-old brain talking to my 18-year-old self. But
nice.
Yeah, that's fun. One of them was about fire drills. Mm-hmm. We had one about
recess.
Fist fights, recess. One was about just me and my buddy Andrew Killian. It's random, dumb stuff, but it's a fun segment.
That's really cool, man. I have some old journals from like high school and college, and I'm a little afraid to go back and read
them. Yeah, it's weird. Sure. Like, well, when I found, I didn't expect to discover this. I moved back into the room I grew up in. So I just moved back to Hickory, North Carolina. And so I'm moving stuff around, and I found like a huge bin of all these journals. I'm like, oh my. I spent like 2 hours just going through them, like laughing, crying. It's a nice little time capsule, you know. You should read some of your old ones. Yeah.
I'm afraid mine are just going to be too angry. Just like manifesto-y. I don't know.
But then you could talk to yourself, like, what was the 18-year-old thinking as opposed to you now, you know? It's fun.
That would be cool. That would be a cool thing to
And we do compare. Have, my mom does movie reviews.
On the show?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And her name is Betty, and we call it Betty Boo's Movie Reviews. And I took her to see Joker, and she's a 72-year-old lady. And I didn't tell her what she was going to go see. I said, you're going to go see, it's a comic book movie. It's about the Joker. You remember Batman, Robin, the Joker? That's all she knew. She had no idea what she was actually going to see.
Condemnation of a collapsing capitalism and untreated mental illness.
Depression. Yes. She had no idea. And she goes, I thought it was going to be a cartoon. So it's interesting to hear her point of view in it. She at first did not like it because it was sad. It made her sad. She had a brother who had mental illness who got picked on a lot. And we have a lot in common with this film. I live with my mother. The Joker lived with his mother. The Joker was a comedian. I'm a comedian. You know? And I had this vision in my head that my mom must have thought when I left Hickory for the first time to go live in Los Angeles that my life was going to be like what the Joker's was in Gotham, this gigantic city where he's just getting – it's nasty and people are killing each other on subways and he's trying to make a living.
Garbage in the
he's
streets.
He's getting beat up all the time.
Giant rats.
Yeah. She must have thought that's what it was actually like for me. So it was an interesting conversation we had on the podcast about that movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I loved it. I thought it was a great movie.
That's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic film.
All right, well, you know, I think we should start since John has actually seen Zombieland and so have you. We should start with that movie.
Because, okay.
And now I was excited to see this movie. I haven't seen it yet. Uh-huh. So 10 years later, is the magic still there?
That's what I was going to ask you. How long was it before?
It's been 10 years.
10 years.
So, all right, John, did you like the first one?
Well, I didn't watch all of the first one. I don't do a lot of zombie stuff. You know, like for whatever reason, it never appealed to me. Uh-huh. And I think it started with The Walking Dead because I got really into that TV show called Lost.
Right.
And I invested a lot of time into Lost. And then I waited at the end and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's how we're ending this. And I was upset. I'm like, well, all of this was a waste of time. In my brain, this is what I thought. Then I see that The Walking Dead's coming
out. You weren't the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now I also realize the journey is all of it. did I like the ride? Of course I did. Well, who cares how it ended? But anyway, that was me then. So now I'm thinking, I see The Walking Dead. Episode one, the dude wakes up in a hospital.
Sure.
He doesn't know what's going on. And in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, we're never going to find out. And I'm going to be so pissed off when this series finale. So I've always been, I guess for that reason, I don't like zombie stuff. Or it didn't appeal to me. I get it. And I don't know the rules for zombies. Does each movie get to make up their own rules about what they are?
There is an overall view of zombies, and then each one kind of has its own specific rules.
Right.
For it. Yeah, and I think some of them like, and we've had some zombie purists on this show who are like, true zombies are only the Walking Dead. Like they come out of the graves,
reanimated corpses.
Yes, right. And then
they only want to eat brains.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this new incarnation, Walking Dead, and some other Zombieland being is the usually like 28 days was this of the like virus.
Right.
There's some kind of crazy virus.
I mean, it actually started with the Resident Evil games.
Right.
It was a pharmaceutical company generated this virus that they were going to use as a bioweapon. And then it you know what's weird when you generate a bioweapon and it tends to get out of hand.
It tends to
get loose. But that's what it was where the, technically these zombies weren't dead.
Yeah.
They were just
sick human beings who were given. They're mentally ill, and their brain is not working properly. And
then they play with the mythology of like, well, no, they die, and then the virus resurrects them. Like then that's like Walking Dead is where it is somebody who's dead, but then the virus goes into the brainstem and reanimates the body. None of it matters, John.
No, that's fine. I want to be able to know when I'm watching something what are the rules in case you break them, then I can hate you.
Yeah,
but if they're not on our rules, then that's cool.
Yeah,
but I just didn't know, and I know that in this, So I didn't see the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I saw bits and pieces.
Right.
And I love Woody Harrelson. I love Emma Stone. I can get on board with a fun zombie thing, you know, shoot them up. It's a fun little... And it was funny. I'm talking about the first one.
Now,
it was funny.
This is the only zombie movie that all four leads in the film have been nominated for Academy Awards.
Wow. So. Well, I will tell you another thing. For whatever reason, Jesse Eisenberg gets on my nerves.
Yeah, I got it.
I've never been sold. The only thing I really liked him in was the movie about Facebook.
Social Network.
Yes.
Right.
I thought he was perfect for that because he played kind of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him doing well.
Jeff Zuckerberg literally just did an interview on Fox News where he doesn't like all of Bernie Sanders' anti-taxing billionaires. He's not happy with billionaires having to pay taxes.
Okay.
So he's a dick.
Yeah.
It's weird that he would come down on that side.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I know.
Well, that's what Jesse looks like to me, is like a guy who, would, no matter what we're doing in the moment, would always be correcting me. I'd be like, Jesse, look, I'm just kidding. Just calm down.
Yeah.
He's like, well, technically, shut the fuck up.
Mm.
So I don't know. Forever, he gets on my nerves. I think he would be a good... robot in a movie,
mm-hmm.
or like a good Star Trek, like a Vulcan. I feel like he'd be a good Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime he's trying to be funny, so when I saw the first one and I saw that mm-hmm. he was in it, I'm like, there's got to be other things on TV I can watch. So I didn't watch all of the first one. Now, mm-hmm. this one, you guys asked me to go see. I actually thought it was really cool. I don't want to get ahead of anything, though, but...
No spoilers, but you can give some overall...
I'm just backing off now, but
yeah.
I did see it, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And then I'll let you guys so go, and then I'll know what to say after.
How far I can go. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't give
I'm
up,
not
like,
spoiling anything.
An ending or anything. Like, we don't want to give up that, but, like, little moments we can talk about.
We knew in the first one, Bill Murray was in the first one.
Yes.
Okay. I liked the little nod in this one.
That was cool.
Okay.
That was cool.
Yeah,
Here was my thinking. So I really liked the first one.
Okay.
So I probably had bigger expectations of this sequel than you did.
Okay.
Which might have been... why I didn't like it as much.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because I think too, it's part of the problems of this film are when Walking Dead came out,
mm-hmm.
28 Days Walking Dead, I loved this like zombie resurgence and showing mm-hmm. the different versions of them.
Yeah.
And so when this movie came out, it was the first sort of zombie comedy.
Right.
Everything else was very serious. It was the end of, it was apocalypse. And so this movie...
Did Warm Bodies come out at the same time? Warm Bodies, that's the one where the kid fell in love?
I think it came out a couple years later.
I think that's in between this one and that one.
But yeah.
But I think Shaun of the Dead might have been first.
Shaun of the Dead was, a good, funny... Yeah. Okay, so, but you liked that it was a comedy about zombies.
Yeah, and it did some sort of, some funny moments of like, they're in the zombie apocalypse, but are still sort of having regular pre-apocalyptic issues.
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of part of its comedy that I like. So now here we are 10 years later. They've been surviving for 10 years. And that movie picks up sort of a year or two into the apocalypse. So everybody's still a little fresh in dealing with it. This is 10 years later.
Right.
They have...
So screen time, it's the same as the time between the films.
Yes.
It's 10 years.
Got it.
Yes,
okay.
It is 10 years because the little girl is now 18 or 19.
Right.
So they talk about it, and the dynamic and... And Emma Stone and Jesse Eisenberg are a couple, but that joke of we're going to argue about petty regular things in the middle of this apocalypse, it got so old for me so quick.
Because mm-hmm. you've already seen it.
I've seen it. And now, mm-hmm. now there's moments in the movie where I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some funny moments in the movie.
The new girl?
The new girl was great. There's a joke in there where she's talking about this new... app or technology.
Yes.
That I won't say specifically what it is,
right.
but it's something that has changed. Like,
yeah.
And everyone in back then is like, oh, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Like, it's a funny joke because it's a thing that happened between the two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was funny.
Yep.
I like the new girl was funny, but then like, and I really like Rosario Dawson and Luke Wilson. By then I was sort of like getting a little bored and annoyed because I was like, there was just too many, like, they wouldn't, that wouldn't happen. They wouldn't be like, they are still fending for their lives on a daily basis. Like, mm-hmm. this is having to find survival. And I just wanted a little more.
It got too goofball-y
for me.
Not enough. I know it's going to sound weird. Not enough reality based.
Yeah, because
a zombie. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You
though.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like you still are trying to survive in this crazy
now,
world.
It's
and they're too relaxed in a weird
yes.
way. Yeah,
it's being kind of promoted, and all sequels get promoted this way. They're like, oh, it's bigger, bloodier, yeah. bad. You know, all of those things.
It's not the same screenwriters.
So,
what about the rules in the first one? They have a set of rules right. that I guess Eisenberg creates or something, and Woody Harrelson goes along with or something. But I that must have been a part of the first one.
That wasn't. That's part of the thing too. Like, yeah. so if you didn't see the first one, then maybe the rule thing in this one was probably funny or cool or.
Yeah, it's interesting. They throw it up on the graphics and how they do that and everything.
They did a lot of that in the first one.
They did that. So that's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. So it's some recycled. Bits, it feels like a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Going into this, we talked about comedy sequels that have some time between them are usually better mm-hmm. than when they just churn out for a money grab.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. the first one was a blockbuster, so let's just crank the second one out. This felt like they turned this movie around in 18 months after mm-hmm. the first one.
Right.
When I felt like it should have had more, I don't know, I wanted it to be a little more interesting and the first one was still grounded in the reality of they created this world. They're living in a post-apocalyptic zombie nightmare. So we'll keep it grounded in that reality and we'll do some jokes and be a little out there. But we're still going to keep it grounded in reality. This one felt like we're just sort of abandoning it after a while. I don't know. I guess because my expectations were so high, it really hurt the film.
I guess that's what helped me is
right.
like, not really having a dog in the fight and then just walking in and seeing like, all right, let's go in here, have some popcorn, and have fun. And it's good for that.
It is.
And the girl, the new girl, when she first came on the screen, in the first 2 minutes of whatever, I was like, please kill her.
Right.
Please. But then over
that
time,
had to be
I got
calculated.
Like, oh, really? Yeah. She's funny.
Yes. She had some funny lines.
She kind of stole it in a weird way.
There was some, absolutely. There's a couple, one of the laugh out loud lines was she's like, oh my God, is that your sister? Like when Emma Stone, that made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
And there were funny moments like that. I think I just.
Well, was it the same mix of like comedy and horror where it was like, or did it go like more over the top in either direction? Like,
well, I think it probably went more comedy this time, maybe not horror. I never felt scared or worried, right.
and I think
or like
that's,
grossed out by the gore or anything like that.
There was some of that. You know, killing zombies is always gory.
Yeah,
but I think that was the in the first one. One of the things that was so funny and kept it rooted in the world was they're showing them killing zombies in the beginning. They show Girl Scouts.
Right.
They show all these funny because it's like
normally it's you can't kill a little girl.
Right. You can't.
Yeah. But if it's a zombie,
it's
can.
A zombie. You can. So it was like that was where I'm talking about. It was grounded in the reality of if a zombie virus were to hit.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to kill Girl Scouts.
Right.
You would have to kill a nice senior citizen, like a puppy or whatever the thing. So that was the funny part of it where this one kind of went too much with the comedy and not enough in the reality of, because that was still the reality in the first one was they still had to survive and they couldn't take risks. I mean, like, and all of that, like, where are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? All those realities of an apocalypse where there's society's collapsed.
Right.
And so that should help motivate.
I never saw them eat in this film one time.
Yeah,
I would be worried about where they're getting food.
The zombies or the people?
The people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never worried.
Yeah.
That's part of it where I was like, I just needed a little.
Yeah.
And if you're writing a smart, funny script, that helps. That's your motivation for the characters.
Half the Walking Dead TV series is them looking for canned goods.
Yes.
Right. I didn't see any of that.
None.
I mean, they were mostly looking for a new vehicle.
Right.
To get to another place. Mm-hmm. And then they argued about that.
So much arguing.
But there was a lot, yeah, a lot of like passive-aggressive arguing, too, which is okay.
Well, that's what's going to happen in the apocalypse. Is well, you know, a lot of passive-aggressive.
You will have petty bickering. Yeah. When we have, yeah. When every day is a fight for survival.
Everyone's sarcastic in this apocalypse time. You can't be straightforward. There is another scene I was confused about, and I don't know if I can bring it up without spoiling it. Where they're looking for a certain vehicle, and they find it, and it seemed like it could have been a trap.
Oh, yeah, the RV?
Now, was that because they explained there's different kinds of zombies now in the very beginning.
Right.
Now, I don't know in the first one if they said they're labeled the different kind of zombies. In this one, they labeled new zombies.
Which, that was interesting. So the first one, it was just zombies.
Right.
And this one... 10 years later, which is this was a thing that I liked, and I wish they would have spent more time with.
Yeah,
of like some of the zombies have evolved,
right.
And there's this new type of zombie that can outthink you,
right?
And I was like, oh great, you just told me, great, this is where we're going.
Something to look forward to.
Yes, so we're gonna find this,
right,
and
right.
And where are they going?
Yeah.
And there's this one hippie kid they find, and he talks about a like hippie utopia. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing with The Walking Dead that was always interesting, is they find these new little worlds and enclaves would be created.
Yes.
Some of them would be evil. Some of them would be good.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do the sort of comedic version of that.
Right.
But and no one would like outsiders.
Yeah. And they spent too much time bitching about finding a car and this other nonsense, where it's like, that would have been more interesting of
they went more in depth about the different type of zombies and how they advanced and actually see them do some pretty cool stuff.
Yes.
Which didn't, what enough of that. I agree.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, you showed me the funny zombie kills in the first one.
Right. Mm.
Now show me these evolved zombies. Like, in the very beginning.
It's a very video game tactic.
Yes.
Like, it's, okay, well, all right, you got through the zombies. Now there's a boss zombie.
Yes.
That you shoot through, stuff like that.
Well, when they just, in the very beginning of the movie, they showed the three different types of zombies. They called the Homer zombie, which is stupid, which was funny.
Yeah.
It's Homer Simpson,
it's like a dumb zombie.
Right.
He chases a butterfly and kills himself by accident.
And then there's the ones that are sort of your standard zombies. I forget what they call them, but then they...
Well, one was a ninja, can I say?
Yeah, ninja zombie,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were secretive. And then one, they showed the one that was evolving.
Yeah.
And the way this zombie evolves...
Right, that was a cool scene.
Awesome.
I love that scene. I didn't know what they were going to do in that moment when the smart one was chasing the guy and the door shut.
Right.
I didn't know exactly how she was going to, but that was a cool scene.
That was a cool scene.
Yeah.
And that's in the very beginning. And how this female zombie figures out this door was like, awesome. And that to me set the tone. Like, all right, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, give me this storyline of finding these new higher end zombies or that's the new threat or whatever. Or maybe they came from somewhere. Give me some cool storyline. And then have the jokes as we follow that plot.
You know what this sounds like? Multiple writers, multiple drafts, where somebody put in something cool, then it got taken out or not explored later because it was another draft. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but from what you're saying,
that was the thing. And again, the difference between John and I'm comparing it against this movie that I saw 10 years ago that I was really expecting. If you don't know much about these movies and you just want to go in, it is 90 minutes of fun.
That's another thing. It wasn't too long.
Right.
It was a good night. I didn't feel like I didn't get enough or too much of it. I thought, oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time. I laughed, you know, I was entertained. the nod to Murray, which I didn't know that in the first one, but now I want to go watch the first one because I did enjoy this one, so I might actually go do that. Just like
I'd be curious to know what you think of the second one after you've seen the.
Yeah, okay, that'd be interesting.
Now, without giving any spoilers, are they setting it up for a Zombieland trilogy, or is this the end? Or if it makes money, there's room for another.
It's
movie.
Well, there's always, there's always room if there's another.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yes,
but you know, anything can happen.
Mm.
So it's possible. I mean, I guess it depends on how well this one does. I mean, how well is it doing in the box office?
That's
right
a great
now?
Question.
I mean, are they?
I will look that up.
I know Joker's been killing it. And then after that, what's the second one?
Apparently, it hasn't done that great. It had a $42 million budget, and so far, cumulative worldwide gross as of October 20th is $32 million.
And that's a modest budget.
Yeah. I didn't know there was this much demand for a sequel to the first one.
Well, you know.
So I was surprised that it came out. I'm like, okay, every year doing this again? Okay.
Every year the demand goes down a little. And by 10 years, it's like, well, we've already kind of seen so much zombie stuff and even funny stuff. You wonder, this is like for people that...
So here's why there was a sequel. The first one had a budget of $23 million, so it's kind of a low-budgety comedy, and it did $100 million worldwide.
Okay.
Well, it's unusual then the sequel would take that long to make, but they said everyone was busy, like because the actors, you know, Academy Award-winning actors.
That's true. They were all blowing up. So
yeah, I think it's the kind of thing that... if you like the first one, you might find some stuff to like, even if you don't think it measures up. But it's interesting we're talking about expectations because that's kind of the issues I had with this next movie.
All right, let's talk about
I didn't know anything about this one.
I saw Parasite, and I really wanted to see it.
Because we've heard
nothing but amazing things.
Yes.
Best film of the year, all these great festivals.
When we've talked a lot extensively on the show about how good the Korean films.
Yes.
Like Korea has been churning out just amazing movies lately.
And Bong Joon-ho, if I'm saying his name properly, he's made some crazy, weird, genre-driven movies. Like he did The Host, which basically starts with like a monster coming on shore and like, you know, attacking people. And then Snowpiercer, which was even crazier about, I think it was based on a graphic novel where it's a train. This is where the last population of Earth is. It's on a train that circles the globe.
Okay.
And each car is a different class. Like the poor people are in the back of the train and the rich people are in the front. Mm-hmm. And you can't, if you're poor, you can't go towards the front of the train. But
that's Host.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's
Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer, yes.
Host is just a Korean monster movie. But what was crazy about him is when he made Snowpiercer, he shot to his edit, which means that if there were 100 editors working on that movie, there's no coverage. They would come up with the same exact film. Like, he literally shot only what he needed on every single shot and scene, which is very ballsy and insane for a director. So,
Real quick, I want to say this. This movie, according to IMDb, is in the United States, has only done under about $2 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide, $93
million. Huge. Whoa. It's huge in Korea right now, this film.
So
I can see why.
Subtitled.
It is subtitled.
Okay.
And it is a story about class. But here's the problem. The problem is the marketing for this movie. When we saw this movie and the trailer, perfect trailer, a little, like, it didn't give a lot of information away. It definitely was a story about class, like... a poor kid gets hired to be a rich kid's tutor, but he does it under kind of like false pretenses. Like he doesn't really have all this experience. And then it goes from there. But then all these weird cards come up in the film. It's like, Parasite is one thing, but it turns into another. Like all these weird kind of things, like you're expecting this giant twist and like this craziness. Like they were promoting it like it was... Cloverfield, where, you know, it's a party where people are, you know, letting, saying goodbye to a friend who's moving overseas. And then a giant monster attacks New York. Like, that's how they're setting up for, like, this crazy twist and, you know, the change of this film.
The tagline on IMDb is misplaced familyhood.
Wow, that doesn't even make any sense.
Someone needs a better interpreter.
Yeah. I think that's lost in translation. Yeah. Something was definitely off on IMDb's translator bot. This movie, because it also does the film a disservice, because this film doesn't go off and veer off in some crazy direction. It doesn't do that. That's what was so infuriating, because I was waiting for this crazy moment that's going to change this film and blow it all up, and it never happened. What it does is it twists and it builds and it gets weirder and a little creepier as it goes along. But there was never this giant, like, oh my God, this is not even the same movie I was watching. No, it is. And it's more credit to the filmmaker that he knew how to build that and keep it all in the same lane. Wow. And that's how it's being promoted, as a really cool, interesting drama about class that does go off the rails towards the end. But you would expect it to. It's not some crazy, like, monster vampire shows up at the end.
Right.
So,
Maybe it would help if they promoted the fact that he edited or shot it the way that he did. Like, maybe it's a gimmick, but it's something to talk about to get eyeballs on it and go like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
I might actually be interested to find, to watch it knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how he did Snowpiercer. I don't know if he did it exactly on this one, but the way his... I will say this, his directing style and technique and his storytelling is what all great filmmakers are. It's very specific to him. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch a film, like, oh, that's, you could tell the director by his fingerprints are all over every frame and every sequence and even directing the actors. And it's interesting, he said that he chose a tutor because he said that sadly the job is the only way that families from two extreme ends of the class spectrum in modern day South Korea can cross their paths convincingly in the story arc. And I was thinking, well, what about housekeeper? There was already a housekeeper in the house. So the only other way was to come in was a tutor.
Right.
But it was like a, I'm trying to just compare it to another film.
Romeo
like
and
it.
Juliet.
Yeah. it was almost like a mix of like a thriller, crime drama, class struggle. There was a little bit of Quentin Tarantino in there, but it wasn't anything crazy and like completely out of left field, and that's the way it's being promoted, which is a disservice to the film and the filmmaker, because he actually has a very coherent vision throughout the entire film. So it kind of short kind of gives him the,
I wonder,
know,
how much of that though is, Chris, is because obviously we're dealing with like some cultural differences.
Yes.
So like this movie, I'm guessing one of the reasons it's done so well in Korea is because it's touching on the serious class issues.
Yes.
Like, every society understands the haves and the have-nots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure this is very specific in Korea. That's probably an issue. It's probably being talked about socially and politically.
Right. You've seen slums in Korea and in Asia in many different movies. But when they get into this rich Korean house, I was like, oh my God, I've never seen houses like that even in LA.
Right.
It's that level of rich.
Okay.
Not like, rich for like a poor part of the country. It's rich for anywhere. This is rich for like
Rockefeller.
The Arab. Yeah, exactly.
And no one and how those two sections would never meet each other, hang out, interact with each other. So that I wonder then if it's that, just some cultural stuff got lost in the translation. Mm-hmm. And or the American distributor going, just make fans of Host think it's going to be that again.
That's what really it felt like. It felt like it was a distinctive, a specific marketing decision of like, oh, how are we going to, we need a hook. How are we going to hook these people in without telling them the actual story?
That's too bad, because I bet you the director did not like that choice.
He probably didn't.
I wonder how he would have chose to promote it.
Yeah. In fact, it makes me want to see, it must be online somewhere, the original like Korean trailers.
There has
like
to
what
be.
What they look like. So it's a solid drama. It is a good film. It's being mispromoted. It isn't this amazing, game-changing, fantastic film, and I saw that because I want people to not go in with these crazy expectations that the marketing is giving it, and also social media. Go in knowing it's a really solid, interesting drama that does build and go a little crazy towards the end for sure. But even maybe it's because we've seen so many movies. We you watching this movie, you're in your head, you're going to be going, I kind of know what direction this is going to go. Right.
You said there's a little Quentin Tarantino in
there's
there.
Definitely a little bit there, too.
Is that because there's some crazy violent fighting going on?
There is, but it's also more of how can I describe it? More of like situational Quentin Tarantino-y type stuff where, confined, closed area with you're not sure what's going to happen with all of these people with different agendas and different things that they're going for. So there's a lot of that, which is very interesting. But I really felt like, oh, is this kind of like a little bit like Slumdog Millionaire? By the time I saw Slumdog Millionaire, it was so overhyped that when I actually saw it, I was like, I don't think this movie was as good at all of that. But
I had the exact same experience with Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
I went in there because another movie I wanted to see was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already there. walked into Slumdog. Yep. I'm like, I had no expectations. And mm-hmm. I walked away going like, that's the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Right. And that's yeah. that's the best way. Because yeah. so I want people, because I want people to see and enjoy this film. And I want them to expecting something else or going with some crazy high expectations. So temper and moderate everything, and you will enjoy this film for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where can people? Is this in theaters?
It's in the theaters, but it's a limited release right now, okay. so it may not be playing near you. But you'll be able to see it.
It's going to be on. I would imagine it's going to be on VOD soon. For sure. If it isn't already.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like even I'm looking at the genres, and it's like comedy, drama, thriller. Not a lot of comedy in the film. Like I swear, just to get like that comedy keyword in any kind of film mm-hmm. Description, it's like one person says something funny.
Yeah, you know, that's not
fair. Oh no, it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that. As a comedian, yeah, I'm against
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's I not, think we should yeah. be able to yeah. decide if
yeah.
it's a comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We give the final
don't write that in there until it's been out for a year. Yeah. Then we'll tell you what it is.
You can have funny people in a drama.
It's not, yeah, it doesn't, well, that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't make it a comedy film.
And that's going to be hard if you're actually going for a comedy. You know, a Korean film, and then the subtitles, you know, a lot will be lost in translation.
Right.
That
right.
does happen.
Yep.
So maybe some of the jokes just went over our heads, you know, and yeah. a lot of films like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a fair point.
And it's interesting, too, to see, like, every once in a while, a translation is way off.
Yeah.
Like, some word is like, you know, it should be boat and then it's house or something mm-hmm. like that, you know.
It changes everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every once in a while, you see one of those in the translation. But for the most part, it's pretty clean. All it's right. good.
All right.
Good
deal.
All right. We got some Patreon sponsors, Graham.
Folks, go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds and support what we're doing. You'll be getting your rewards through December. And then,
yes.
then we shut everything down.
Two more chances to support. Johnny Rulon's got some short horror stories for sale. The first is called The Shell, and it's a Lovecraftian tale about a neighborhood that loses power and becomes victim to an unknown monster. The second is called She, about a high school held under the dark spell of an evil cult leader. They're only 99 cents on Amazon Kindle, and you check them out at happyhorrorshowproductions.com and clicking the Buy Short Stories tab. And find Fanboy Planet's a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comic news, movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com. And Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday and Wednesday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. That's coffeeoversuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. Go to alicefrazier.com with an S, alicefrazier.com. And the Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans, now celebrating 1 year of the show at the Art Sunset Jam, Saturday, October 26th. That's this Saturday. Details at theartpodcast.com. It will be in Santa Monica. And Tony McPhail. Oh, and also, she'll be giving away some cool gift bags to fans that are going to be there. And there'll be a little bit of a CFN swag in there. Some signed DVDs. You guys will get some cool stuff if you go down. And it'll be a great show, too. So, and Tony McFadden's 14th book is a gritty Australian noir, The Murder of Jeremy Brooks, pits small-town Australian PI Dan McGuinness against corporate greed and corruption. A Sydney surgeon hires Dan to find her husband's killer. The cops think it was a mugging gone bad. She thinks it was a hit. More info at TonyMcFadden.net/JB. TonyMcFadden.net/JB. And from Andy Bowman, every week in the Geek 101 podcast, Ariel and Andy get together to discuss, critique, review, and sometimes bicker about the latest in geek news and pop culture. Become a listener and join the conversation by listening to the Geek 101 podcast wherever you download your podcasts. And Jerome Sullivan is a screenwriter, and he's calling on all the studios to check out jcsscreenplays.com, jcsscreenplays.com. He has synopsises on completed movie and TV scripts, including a murder mystery, sci-fi action thriller, coming-of-age musical, a horror, rom-com, and more. Visit jcsscreenplays.com. All right, Graham.
Boom.
What?
Boom.
It was quite the trailer evening yesterday.
Ooh, yeah.
It was a big trailer evening.
It was a big trailer
I know
evening.
Of one that yes. was awesome.
There were two big ones that dropped yesterday, one slightly more famous than the other.
Let's do that one first.
Yes, this is Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Yes. Come on. I'm so very excited. Very excited.
And it's
usually when the trailer comes out, does that mean the movie's out a year later?
No.
When is this one coming out?
It's coming out in December.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But this, oddly enough, it's coincided with the exact day the tickets were going on sale. And they've already had like millions of dollars in ticket sales already.
Feeling. The Force brought us together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
But I do. Long have I waited. And now... you're coming together. Is your undoing.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
If a robot could cry right now, that would be the best.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. It's I love the visuals here. That the ocean, the
it's really
ice
cool.
planet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, mm-hmm. That trailer looks amazing.
Yep. And they say
that I'm all in anyway. I'm all in.
I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
You just tell me Star Wars. There's a new Star Wars movie. I'm in.
I do think though, like. I feel like this is going to be good. Some people are very critical of anything Star Wars, you know, and I'm always like, just let it play out. I'm not going to go look at the old books or whatever. I'm just going to let this play out and enjoy it for what it is. But I'm also enjoying all these other side movies that are happening.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. I'm ready for this one to peacefully go, peace, we're out.
Yep.
Enjoy the rest of the sideways that are, you know, the other ones that are
this
coming out.
This is number nine now.
This is nine.
Yeah.
And I'm not like saying get on out of here. I'm going like, I can't wait to see how you're going to retire, you know, or
yes,
whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know,
it
go out.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's like a pro athlete on a retirement tour.
Yeah.
Right. Gets a standing ovation at all the road games.
Yeah.
You know?
but it's also good.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's
like,
good.
Oh, he's still, if you wanted to he's play, he could.
One more.
Yeah,
he could, but no.
Yep.
He's hit his peak. Mm-hmm. This is it. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is great. And
I can't wait.
The only way we would do one extra episode is if some fans paid for us to go to Australia again to see this, which is what we did 4 years ago. So if you guys want one extra episode, just kick in somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, $5,000 or so, and Chris and I will fly to Australia and our final spoiler ep, episode 601.
Why Australia again?
They get it... 36 hours ahead of the rest of the world.
Oh, interesting.
So the last Star Wars movie, the one from 2015 or 2016, 2015, the first new one in 30 years when that came out with Harrison Ford and everybody, we went to Australia because a guy who's on the show a lot, Steele Saunders, is Australian. He's one of the biggest Star Wars fans anyone's ever known.
Well, I don't even think he's going to be in Australia
for
this.
No, he won't. So we went because our movies come out on Fridays. Their movies come out on Thursdays. So it was a Wednesday midnight screening.
Oh, man.
So we literally flew to Australia and landed there that day.
Oh, wow.
Took naps and then went to a midnight screening.
Oh, no, did TV too.
Did a TV interview.
Did Australian TV. Yeah.
Interviewed us like, who are these insane?
What a crazy trip.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then did a spoiler rep at a bar at 3 in the morning in front of a live audience.
Yeah. Wow.
It was
that's bad.
So
that's,
crazy
I mean, that's
and
cool.
fun.
Yeah.
And both Chris and I said, I think this is for a younger person to do.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe this podcast,
I can guarantee
when you reach
I said it.
600, you guys need a trailer like this.
Yes.
For your podcast. It's like, you know what? They've been great. It's, you know, it's like that athlete making his tour, you know, whatever.
Someone wants to edit together a cool 10-year trailer.
That would be cool.
We'll play it at the final episode.
Yeah.
When was the last one? Was it 2 years?
I mean, they've been coming out every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
Yes.
And then the year in between has been a different.
Yeah, the side.
The plan was every Christmas was going to be a Star Wars movie. Yeah. It was going to be the trilogy, side story, trilogy, side story, trilogy. But it didn't quite work out that way. They messed with it a little bit. And
okay.
And now Star Wars is going to be taking a break.
Because 2 years ago was the Last Jedi
with
when Mark Hamill came back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just hear his voiceover throughout this.
Yeah. Oh, he has to be a Force ghost in this. I'd be very surprised if we
wouldn't
see him.
Well, I have questions about how that ended.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just disappeared. We don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did pull an Obi-Wan?
I think he Obi-Wan'd it. Like we're gonna see his ghost.
You think we Obi-Wan? Yeah. Maybe he just went somewhere else. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules again are. You know, 100% with the Force.
I think he'll just show up the way Obi-Wan did, as this glowing thing in the Force.
Yeah, he probably will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going from a different point of view. just
keep using the Force.
Yeah.
I've said it a thousand
times. Now the whole
family's
here. So yeah, because that you know that Force ghost, you have Darth Vader was there too.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right, this next one, you know, before we play it, I want to mention this. It was trying to mirror the success of the Star Wars trailer, where it's like they did the same thing. Well, teaser here, it's going to come live. It's going to be on a live sporting event if you really want to see it. It's Vin Diesel. Like, they're really trying to promote it. And honestly, I think it may have worked because this trailer has 3.6 million views on
it.
Yes. Oh, interesting.
So this is Bloodshot, a new comic book character played by Vin Diesel based on the, I think it's a Valiant comic.
And initiate sequence.
Gina, I'm home.
Memories are made of this.
What is this place?
I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but you got yourself killed at RST. We'd rebuild the most important assets in the U.S. military. Soldiers like yourself. You're the first who we've successfully managed to bring back. But improved, enhanced. With the technology in your veins, you have an army inside you that will not only make you stronger, it will heal you instantly.
Or it should.
Now tell me, do you remember anything?
Gina.
Where are you going?
I've got unfinished business. To find the man who murdered my wife and kill him.
Keep in mind, it's full of cliches right now, but here's what I liked. Pay attention to what happens next.
Say again?
It's got a lot of revenge cliches.
Oh, okay.
But it goes somewhere interesting.
And initiate sequence. Okay, who is the next target for elimination?
Wow.
Tell me, do you remember anything?
Do I know you guys?
I don't think so.
They've been manipulating you.
What you think is real sometimes ain't. And initiate sequence.
It takes the comic book revenge fantasy and turns it on its ear.
Hold me forever.
Sure about that? Revenge is what makes a man like you exceptional.
You know nothing about men like me.
That is absolutely fantastic.
I
I feel like I just heard this. Are they playing this on repeat?
All right.
That looks pretty damn cool.
Dude, I love the fact that they, because right before that moment, I'm like, okay, I've seen this
100 times
he's
before.
He's
going to
go get revenge and he's mad. And then there was like, oh, dude, they program him to want revenge on different people.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That opens up a whole, and they did a good thing. They didn't show us the whole movie.
No.
So you just go, okay, I got the setup. Mm-hmm. And now what I need to see in the theater is, how does this play out? How does he get out of their cycle? Because they can shut him down at any moment. Like, who and what is their motive behind this? Who is he really? We don't know any of that stuff, which makes this a great trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, I don't normally like Vin Diesel.
Right.
But I will see this movie.
Yep.
Despite Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Because that trailer looked pretty dang cool. It looked like a combination of a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like RoboCop a little bit, but it's military.
Yes, a little RoboCop where they
The cop died and they brought him back, and then but he still wanted to avenge the murder of his partner, whoever or whatever. So there's a little bit of that.
That's Guy Pearce, right?
Yeah, Guy Pearce.
He plays, you know, I never thought he'd play such a great little kind of slimy businessman, but he's played it a bunch of times.
Oh,
and
he's
great. He's
a great, like, corporate villain.
Oh, is that the bald guy that Guy Pearce? Which one is that?
Guy Pearce is the guy with the glasses who's telling him, we just reprogrammed the guy in the suit. Mm-hmm. That's Guy Pearce.
Yeah, so I saw a little bit of RoboCop, a little bit of, I'm blanking on the movie where you could build things,
The
Inception,
Lego movie?
Maybe, or was it Inception?
The Lego movie?
The Lego
movie? Yeah.
Yes, that's it. There's a lot of Lego elements, Chris. It's fantastic.
Well, it looked like the landscape was coming down around him.
Inception,
Okay, that's what I was thinking of that one, but I could work at Legos as well.
Yeah.
Well, that little hint at that is, again, what makes this a good trailer is because it's like, oh, so we're not going to know what's real and what isn't.
Right.
Which could, if they do that correct, if they do it too much and I'm confused, it's dumb.
Yeah. Right.
But if you do it enough to where it's like,
or it's a mystery.
It's a mystery, and then he solves it.
I would like to know at the end of the film, though.
Yes.
By then, I'd like it cleared up.
Yeah, I don't want to walk out of going like, I guess that, well, then maybe this, you know, I like it being wrapped up. You know?
If it ends with it was all just a dream, I'm going to be furious.
Right. Yeah. But that looked pretty cool. I can see why I got so many hits, you said.
Yeah.
3 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
Yep.
All right.
And, okay.
Well, when I saw the title, I was thinking, I thought it said Bloodsport.
Oh, right.
A remake?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah. That was his movie. That was his breakout.
Yeah.
Based on a true story.
But this is cool. Bloodshot. And I like that the technology is the nano robots that
get
the blood and can, like, heal
him
you.
And he make said, him stronger.
And forget stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a little bit of Total Recall in that as well.
Yes.
A little Total Recall in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little hint of Terminator, maybe.
So, I guess the question is, are you going to take your mom to see this film?
I might. I mean, that's the next. I don't know what the next one's going to be, but I like taking her something she normally wouldn't go see.
Right.
And she wouldn't normally go see this.
She's,
I feel like there are better options, though, of things for
what
me
about
to choose
the, now,
for her.
Now, since you love the Star Wars movies, would you take your mom to the Star Wars?
I would, and we've been doing that.
Oh,
it's
she
been
loves
a family
them.
Thing where we go, like, because it's always around Christmas.
Yeah.
And everybody's in town, you know, whatever, the whole family's in town. So it's easy to do that one. So it's just what we've kind of chosen. But I'll do that one. But that one's not. I want to get one that she normally wouldn't see. That's like either too gross or too sexually graphic or something. That's very uncomfortable for her. You know?
Right.
But this looks like it's just going to be fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too. And again, I have the same reaction you guys did. I want to see it despite Vin Diesel.
So, oh, good. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Oh no.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
So
I like the way he talks too hard.
Yeah,
he's trying too
anytime
hard.
He's in a tank top mumbling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder if they gave him like those he can see in the dark like Riddick. If they they can do the.
Right.
You know, I liked him best in Saving Private Ryan. Right.
That was a while ago.
Killed.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. He doesn't survive D-Day.
Yeah.
We and we have the store closeout is going on, and also the last Comedy Film Nerd show on December 12th. That is the Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth Theater. It's going to be a great show. Lots of guests, and also a nice reception at the end for all you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a 2.5 hour show. We're inviting guests who've been on the show. John, if you happen to be in town on the 12th and want to pop in for a couple minutes, we're just trying to get as many of the fun guests we've had on the show.
If I'm here, I'm there.
Go to dynastytypewriter.com or grahamelwood.com for tickets, because there's a good chance it might sell out. So, and then we're having a big party afterwards just to celebrate the 10 years of this and doing the show. And so it'll be a lot of fun.
And if you're good at making trailers,
please make a trailer.
Like please the do. End of a trilogy for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll play it.
You've got YouTube clips.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we'll play
it. We can put stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Put some music behind it, mm-hmm. you know?
The end of an era.
Yeah. And
we have very talented fans. I'm sure somebody could put it together.
Oh, man, you guys, come on.
So seriously, you want to do it, email info@comedyfilmnerds.com. We'd love to have it.
Yeah, we'll play it at the final show.
Oh, man, and, that'd be awesome.
So, and also, like we said, the store is closing out. We do have still a bunch of stuff left. And if you do a loot crate between now and the end of this month, because you'll need 2 months Patreon sponsorship to get it, those are still available. Check that out. And also, we're going to be closing it probably about December 15th. So any orders by then, they will ship out. You'll get them in plenty of time for Christmas, but then we'll be shutting the store down about December 15. And DVD and Blu-ray, Graham, only one, The Lion King.
All right.
This movie was horrible. Horrible, this remake.
Oh, no.
Yeah, terrible. And,
are you serious?
It was one of those movies that as a technologically advanced, it was a marvel. I've never seen anything that looked anything like this, between the animals, the fur, the movements of everything. It looked spectacular. But you're just watching the same exact movie that you already saw years ago. And then even Elton John is like, they ruined the music. And they did. He's right. Because what they do is, in this, you know, ridiculous attempt to like make it new or different, all they do is like, you know, change the arrangements on these classic songs, and like, well, no, there's a reason these classic songs are arranged the way they are.
Right.
You know, you're changing it just to change it, which does nothing to improve it.
Right. And so, if you're just going to carbon copy the first one, why make this change?
So, you know, I remember us asking, like, well, should you even get paid to direct this movie? It's the exact same movie.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend there's a human being who's never seen the first one.
Right.
And they see this one.
Mm-hmm.
Will that matter? It won't matter because they haven't seen the first one. Will they still like it?
Well, it's the exact same movie except poorer version of it, but more technologically advanced. I think they would still enjoy it for sure.
Yeah. Just because the storyline, it's a good story.
The first one was fine. I liked it. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's epic. So if you didn't see the first one, and this is your first one, it's okay. But the music's a little weak.
Yeah, it's for sure. Like what it would do is make you seek out the first one and go, you know what? Let me see what was so great about the first one that they wanted to make another one. And you go, oh, yeah, this one's better.
Who's doing the voiceover? Same people, different people?
It was all different people with the exception of James Earl Jones. They had him cross over and do this the new one, but then everyone else was different. But then that was another problem. They were all doing impressions of like the original actors. Oh, okay. So like, these are now just knockoff voices, even though they're famous people of like the original cast that we had before. So, but you know, these movies are money grabs. The exception was Jungle Book, and I would like to see more movies like that if they're going to redo things. So I'm hoping we get more of those and less of these.
Yes.
So, premiering this week, Black and Blue. Now, are you familiar with this film?
I saw the trailer when I went to see Zombieland 2, and it looked pretty interesting. I'd like to. I want to see what other people think about this. I don't know where they're going to go. I feel like they have an agenda. You know, we'll see what happens.
It's definitely it's getting killed on IMDb.
Well, did you think a little bit of Training Day in this?
Yeah, but I also felt like it was more interested in like shoving in social issues rather than telling a story. Which is a mistake. You got to do it the other way. You got to tell a good story, and then the social issues sneak in underneath.
Well, this hasn't come out yet, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, from what the trailer looked like, I don't know. I feel like, but, you know, again, we've talked about this many times. It could be the way the trailer was edited.
Right.
You know, this could be a brilliant film. We're not sure. But I also just looked at the numbers for the original, the initial reviews, and they're
not good.
Low.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But so I don't know. This one's a maybe.
This one, I'll take my mom to this one.
Yeah.
And see how uncomfortable she is the whole time.
And
we'll be the only two white people in the
And the next movie is Countdown, and this is another one of these, you know, dumb, low-budget, you know, horror knockoff movies with, like, a dumb premise that, you know, is just like just connect horror to social media in some way.
Right.
That's all we have, and we'll have another horror movie. And it's really, that's all it is. So, these movies have, I'm going to guess, now I haven't, this for sure. This is about $4 or $5 million budget, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it is.
So it's an app that you can download on your phone that counts down your death day, right?
Yeah. So it's like a little pieces of all these different.
Tom Segura's in this.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
No budget is listed as of now.
Okay.
But I would imagine it's 10
in million, that area.
10 million at the most.
Okay. It's probably less.
I was watching the trailer.
More killer apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how. I thought it might be that, like, that film, Final Destination.
Yeah,
where we find out the unique ways of people.
You see a
dying.
Lot of movies, John, for someone without a movie podcast. I'm impressed.
Well, I do. I work 1 hour, not. I don't go to a lot of premieres or whatever, or, like, you know, in the theater, but unless it's something like Joker, but, like. Yeah. You know, when they come out on demand or in an airplane. I live in an airplane. I see a lot of stuff on an airplane. So, yeah, I like movies. But, I thought this would be more like Final Fantasy and not more, about a ghost or something. That's how they die, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be like, this is your death day. You've got 2 seconds. What's going to happen? You're going to slip in the bathroom and fall? You going to cut your wrist by accident?
Yeah, a movie
it's some supernatural thing, which that's why. Okay.
A movie like this is like a hard dartboard. You just throw and it hits ghost or it hits app, and then it hits
that's how
nurse.
They make them.
Yeah,
it's like they build the title and then they throw shit at the dartboard.
Yeah, and then they put it together.
And they go, okay, well, that'll work.
And they
dry erase board. Countdown.
Yeah.
What's this about?
What is this? Ghost.
App.
All right.
Ghost app. Yeah. All right, you got it. Write it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that The Ring? No. That was a TV. No, that was a videotape.
Right. Right.
You got 19 days to turn this around.
Yeah.
Write it.
No.
Yeah. Is this union? Get out of here.
Shut up.
So, that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. John, why don't you tell us about where people can find you and what you've got coming up.
Everything else.
I'm on this very network with you guys. I have a podcast. It's called Fried at the moment. But we're about to change the title to Local Boy Makes Good.
Oh, wow.
That was Al Madrigal's idea. I go, okay, they're about to rebrand. They're doing a whole, you know, they signed with, the ATC partnered with some other thing, and now there's going to be a lot of cross-promotion. There's going to be a lot of sponsors, blah, blah, blah. So, so we took the moment to go, let's go ahead and change the title.
Good thing we're shutting down.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
So changing the title, Local Boy Makes Good. We have segments. Like I said, Mom Does Betty Boo's Movie Reviews. You can find it on SoundCloud, iTunes. Mm-hmm. You can find it on I'm on YouTube as well. I would prefer it if they went to my YouTube page for now, because there's a lot.
You can
of
mention that.
There's a lot
I
of
prefer
visual.
You guys to go to my YouTube page.
Yes, YouTube.com/John Reap, and then go ahead and subscribe.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now you have where can people find your special?
I have a special out right now called Ginger Beard Man. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on iTunes and it's on demand on all your cable or satellite outlets, whatever you have.
Perfect.
It's you have to search for it. Ginger Beard Man.
Awesome.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Amazon Prime, the First Nations Comedy Experience, the 13-episode Native American stand-up series that I directed is also on Amazon Prime, which has many of the comics who were on the show, Shoshone Livingston, Jim Rule, Sheila Shalaki, many others who've been on the show that have been on this show or on that show, so it's on Amazon Prime. Check
What's
that out.
What's the title again?
First Nations comedy experience.
Okay.
So it's 13 episodes. It's like three or four comics per episode, each doing 15-minute sets. It's an hour each episode, and we do little behind-the-scenes interviews, so you get kind of a sense of who the comic is. Mm-hmm. I directed it and produced it.
That sounds cool.
It was awesome. It was such a cool thing to do this. I basically directed 13 1-hour comedy specials.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool, and we had a shoestring budget, and we made it look really fancier than it.
Yeah,
than it is.
Yeah. That's good director.
That's,
yeah.
that's low budget filmmaking. Yep. That's how to take five nickels and
fix it in post.
Yeah, make it look bigger than
it
is.
Right.
So that's it. That's on Amazon Prime. And of course, Ron Placona and I are doing Progressive Comedy Tour. We're going to Australia in November. November 14th, we're in Melbourne. 15th, Adelaide. 17th, Sydney. And the 22nd, we are in Perth. I just talked to Will Anderson. Going to be, he's probably going to come on a show, and I'm going to be on his Willosophy or Rofop or whatever he keeps renaming his shows, whatever that is. So, and then we're doing Comedy Film Red 600th episode December 12th at Dynasty Typewriter. We're doing a Progressive Comedy Tour at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club December 13th, and Progressive Comedy Tour at Sycamore in Hollywood December 14th. All my tour dates are at grahamelwood.com.
Boom.
So check those out. I'm looking to launch this new Kickstarter for the new comic book on November 1st. That is the target date, so I'm going to be able to squeeze this in right before we shut down the last Kickstarter, Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. It's going to be a 160-page graphic novel, same team as Long Ago and Far Away. All the pieces are slowly getting into place. That's why it's taking so long. It's a lot of pieces. So the video and the campaign are almost done. So we should be able to launch November 1st and get it right under the wire before we shut down. So one last thing you guys can support before we shut down. Also, thanks.
And then we'll never bug you again.
Yeah.
Except for the trailer. Then,
yeah.
then we're done. Then it's over.
Right.
Well, thank you, John,
for taking
time out to come hang out with us when you're in L.A.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Aaron Brungard, and everybody at the All Things Comedy World headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.